pleased by sacrifices will also please you. Thus nourishing one another, there will reign general prosperity for all.
Yes. This is a very important point. The godless society, they are thinking that everything is being done by nature. Nature is there, but there is a controller of nature. Just like this electricity. Electricity is natural power, but there is a powerhouse and there is a resident engineer. Similarly, everything supplied by nature, water supply, heat supply, air. So there is a controller and he is called demigod. They are all appointed servants by the Supreme Lord. It is simply foolishness that nature is working automatically. This is rascaldom. They do not know. The so-called scientists who are thinking that everything is going on automatically. Yes, it is going on automatically, just like the government affairs are going on automatically. A child can say that everything is going automatically. But a person who knows the government, the constitution, he knows how departmental management are going on. That is the difference between the so-called foolish person and one who knows the things. One who knows the things, he knows that everything is controlled by a person. That person is called demigod. So we have to satisfy. Therefore the yajna, sacrifice is recommended. So that is mentioned here, that demigod being pleased by sacrifices. Just like to the income tax officer, if you pay regularly your income tax, then there is no trouble. Everything will go on. Otherwise, the state will enforce to exact income tax. So we are receiving heat from the sun. Similarly, we are receiving rains. Don't you think that we have to pay some tax? That is required. That enjoined is Vedic literature. You must. Therefore, so many sacrifices are recommended. If you do not offer those sacrifices, then there will be irregularity of rain, irregularity of heat, excessive heat, excessive cold, and people will suffer. This is the process. They do not know it. Read it, part.
The demigods are empowered administrators of material affairs.
Yes, the demigods are empowered administrators of material affairs. How can you deny the existence of demigods? Go on.
The supply of air, light, water, and all other benedictions for maintenance of the body and soul of every living entity are entrusted to the demigods, who are innumerable assistants in different parts of the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Just like my body, different limbs are working and helping me. I want to go somewhere. The limbs or the part which is called leg, they will carry. Similarly, by the supreme order of Krishna, all these demigods are acting just like my different parts of the body are acting. Yes, go on.
Their pleasures and displeasures are dependent on the performance of yajnas by human beings. Some of the yajnas are meant for satisfying the particular demigods, but even in so doing, Lord Vishnu is worshipped in all yajnas as the chief beneficiary.
Just like if you obey the department, say the police department. You are obeying the police department means you are obeying the government. Nobody can manufacture a police department and force you to obey, because it is one of the important departments of government. Therefore, as soon as there is police, hands up, you have to stop. You may be very rich man, millionaire, but you have to obey the orders of the police, otherwise you will be prosecuted. And where from? That man is an ordinary man. Simply he stops you. Why do you stop? Because you obey the government. Similarly, all obeisances offered to the demigods, they are meant for giving obeisances to the Supreme Lord. That is the beginning. Go on.
It is stated also in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna himself is the beneficiary of all kinds of yajna.
Yes, taxes. Treasury department collecting taxes. That is not the tax officer or the treasurer is collecting for his personal self. He is collecting for the government. Similarly, these demigods accepting these different kinds of sacrifices, they are on account of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, ultimately you have to satisfy the Supreme Lord. So, in this age, it is very difficult to satisfy all the demigods differently. People are so much harassed. The best thing is to satisfy directly the Supreme Lord. And what is that simple method? Just chant Hare Krishna. Because we are so fallen in this age, the simple chanting of glorification of the Lord will be equal to performances of all kinds of sacrifice. That is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Jagai Sankirtanai Prai Jajanti Sumedhasa. Those who are, because each kind of sacrifice, they are very costly affairs. It is not possible in this age. Tons of butter, ghee wanted to arrange for a sacrifice. It is very difficult to find out a pound of butter in a house. And where is the question of tons? Of course, in your country, still butter is available. But in India, practically butter is finished. So in one day, the whole world will not see any more butter or rice or wheat. Everything will be finished. Because with the age of advancement of the age of Kali, everything will deteriorate so badly that all supplies will be stopped practically. At that time, people will live just like animals. So this is the only means, Krishna consciousness, that in this age, simply, in whatever condition you may be, you can simply sit down and chant. There is no expense, there is no loss. Simply chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And all demigods and the Supreme Personality of God, everyone will be satisfied. You will have no difficulty. This is the program of Krishna consciousness. Wow.
Bhaktaram yajna tapaso. Therefore, ultimate satisfaction of the Lord is the chief purpose of all yajnas. When these sacrifices are perfectly performed, naturally the demigods in charge of the different departments of supply are pleased, and there is no scarcity in the flow of natural products.
Yes, because after all, however tractor, machine or farm arrangement you may make, unless there is supply of heat and water, it is all useless. You cannot produce grains just like wheat or rice or pulses in your factory or by your will, defying the nature's law. Oh, that you cannot do. Your life is in the hands of the demigods. If they stop supply, sunshine, if they stop supply, water supply, how you can produce? Therefore, you have to satisfy them. People are practically forgotten their duty. Therefore, they are suffering. Otherwise, if they follow the rules and regulations, there is no scarcity. The modern theory, the population has increased. This is a nonsense theory. If there is production is sufficient, what is the question of population increasing? Let population increase. The supply I will give you. In the Vedic literature we find, eka bahunam vidadhati kama. That Supreme Lord is supplying everyone food. Why do you think of human society? What is the human society? Out of 8,400,000 forms of life, there are only 400,000 forms of human life. And 8 million forms, they are lower animals, birds, beasts, aquatic. Who is supplying their foodstuff? Everyone is sumptuously fed by the grace of God. Why not you? You are suffering because you are disobeying. Therefore you are suffering. That you should know. The suffering population theory, this theory, that theory, is only the human society. Because they are regularly defying the existence of God. Science, science, science. Now there are so many suffering people. Why your science cannot provide them food? So this is wrong theory. You have to satisfy the supreme supply, then you get sufficient production and you'll be happy. Go on.
Performance of yajnas has many side benefits, ultimately leading to liberation from the material bondage. By performance of sacrifice, all activities become purified, as is stated in the Vedas.
Yes, when you perform, just like we are performing here, sacrifice of Sankirtan, everything you will find here purified. In this temple, you go corner to corner, you will find everything sanctified, purified. Why? Because here this sacrifice of Sankirtan is being performed. So as soon as you take up the process of sacrifice, automatically everything will be hygienic, purified, health, wealth, everything complete. God.
As will be explained in the following verse, by performance of yajnas, the eatables become sanctified, and by eating sanctified foodstuffs, one's very existence becomes purified.
Yes, even George Bernard Shaw, he has written, you are what you eat. Your body is purified or impurified according to the foodstuff you eat. Therefore we forbid, you don't eat this, don't eat that. You have got sufficient food, grains, meal, butter and fruits, sufficient. Why should you eat meat? That is not sanctified. But this is nature's product offered to Krishna. And you eat and you become healthy and sanctified in mind, in body. Then you can understand Krishna consciousness, you can make progress in that way. If your body is not sanctified, it is impure, how can you understand the pure consciousness or Krishna consciousness? Therefore we have to follow these principles, regulations.
By the purification of existence, the finer tissues in the memory become sanctified. And memory being sanctified, one can think of the path of liberation.
Just like in our contaminated state, we become diseased. What is disease? As soon as you contaminate or infected by some impure thing, you become diseased. Similarly, this disease, material disease, birth, death, old age, they are some kind of disease. Otherwise, I am spirit, soul, I am pure as God, because I am part and parcel of God. Due to my impurities of this material body I am suffering. So if you purify your existence, then you get the quality in complete pureness of God. You become happy. Anandamaya abhyasat, sachidananda vigraha, you become jolly. Brahma bhuta prasannatma. As soon as you purify yourself and becomes identified with the existence of God, immediately become joyful, no anxiety. Brahma bhuta prasanna. So you have to purify your existence. If you keep your body impurified, then how you can release the purified consciousness? So you have to do it. Go on.
All these together lead to Krishna consciousness, the great necessity of present-day society. 12. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajna, supply all needs to man. But he who enjoys these gifts without offering the demigods in return is certainly a thief.
Yes. Just see, a strong word is used. Suppose there is a mention, there is a recommendation that you should perform Surya Yoga. Surya means the sun. The sun is supplying you so much heat, warm, and don't you want to give him some tax or satisfying by sacrifices? So that is our duty. If you are receiving from me so many things, and if you do not at least acknowledge your gratitude, then you are a thief. We are receiving so many benefits through the agents of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and if we do not acknowledge Him, though God is great, He is so kind, in spite of our so many faults, He is supplying us nice foodstuff, nice everything. So how much ungrateful the human society has become, just imagine. And they want peace and prosperity. Nonsense. Where is peace and prosperity? You must suffer. You must suffer. That is your due. Go on.
13. The devotees of the Lord are released from all sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice.
Yes. Devotees, how much they are grateful. Krishna Prasad. Krishna, you have sent so nice fruit, nice flower. First of all, you enjoy. Oh, God is very satisfied. Just like a boy. My dear father, this sweetmeat is very nice. You take. A father knows the sweetmeat was purchased by him where the boy can get the sweetmeat. But because this son is offering to the father in love and affection, father says, oh, give me. It's very nice. Therefore, we cannot offer any Krishna. Krishna is self-sufficient. He does not require your offering of this foodstuff, that food. But if you offer with affection and love, He accepts. And as soon as Krishna accepts, your life is sanctified immediately. Therefore, you should eat Krishna prasadam, nothing more. Not in the hotel, not in the restaurant. Simply Krishna prasadam. That will keep me purified, always.
Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin.
Yes. Simply the nice foods are palatable dishes. You can prepare palatable dishes for Krishna. There are hundreds and thousands of preparation. But as soon as you prepare for yourself, or you try to satisfy your tongue, then you are bound up by the laws of nature, anything. That is sinful. Sinful. If you do not acknowledge, if you do not acknowledge the authority, if you do not feel your gratitude for the supply, that is, then you are a thief. Especially it is mentioned. It is thief. I am taking your things, I am eating, but I am not feeling any gratitude for you. Then I am a thief. Yes. Gone.
14. All living bodies subsist on food grains. Food grains are produced from rains. Rains come from performance of sacrifice. And sacrifice is born of man's work.
This is a cycle. Cycle. We are living on food grains. We cannot live on meat eating. It is not possible. However, a great meat eater, maybe, he must have some grains, some vegetables. That is his life. Yes. Therefore, grains, vegetables, they are actually our food. Now, I am living and getting energy by eating grains and vegetables. And how my energy should be utilized? It should be utilized for the purpose from where I am getting energy. I am getting energy from the Supreme Lord by supply of this foodstuff, therefore my energy should be utilized for the service of the Supreme Lord. That is called sacrifice. So I should be strong enough to offer sacrifice to the Lord. By sacrifice, the demigods, the Lord will be pleased and there will be sufficient rain, there will be again production, again you will eat, again you will get strength, again you will offer sankirtan. This cycle must go on. This cycle. You get from the Supreme Lord supply by His natural ways, you get strength, and your strength should be utilized not for sense gratification. Because I am now very stout and strong, let me enjoy senses. Then you are sinful. And if you use your strength for satisfying the Supreme Lord, then your energy is properly utilized. This is the way.
15. Activity, karma, arises from the Vedas, and Vedas spring from the Supreme Godhead. Therefore, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice.
Yeah.
Purport. Yajnatha karma, or the necessity for work, for the satisfaction...
Yajnatha karma. Yajna means sacrifice, artha for the purpose of, and karma, fruitive activity. Everyone is engaged in some activity, but what shall be the purpose of such activity? Yajnatha. Yajnatha means simply to satisfy Lord Vishnu or Krishna. That should be the purpose. Yajnatha karma.
We have to work for the satisfaction of the Yajna Purusha, Vishnu. Then we must find the direction of work in Brahman or the transcendental Vedas. The Vedas are therefore codes of working direction. Anything performed without...
Just like you get license to do some business. Why? The government gives you license to do some business. That means if you want to do business, you must satisfy the government. You cannot do whimsically. You cannot do. This is Veda. One who is law-abiding, subject. Similarly, anyone who is following the codes of Vedas or scriptures, he is actually working. Otherwise, persons who are violating, he is becoming implicated, criminals. Similarly, if we defy the rules and regulations of Vedas or scripture, then we are being implicated, criminals, for being punished. Therefore, work should be yajnatha, for the satisfaction of Vishnu or the Supreme Godhead. That should be the mode of work. Go on.
Anything performed without the direction of the Vedas is called vikarma. Vikarma, or unauthorized work, or sinful work.
Yes.
Therefore, one should always take direction from the Vedas to be saved.
The same example, as I always cite, that your direction is keep to the right. Then if you don't keep to the right, if you go to the left, then it is vikarma. Your driving is unlawful. You are immediately... Similarly, as soon as we perform vikarma, karma, vikarma, akarma, there are three kinds of work. So vikarma means against the rules. So as soon as we act against the rules, immediately we are bound up by the criminal codes. Therefore, if we work for the Supreme Godhead, Krishna, simply for His satisfaction, there is no vikarma, there is no criminality. There is no criminality. Because ultimately, the Supreme Lord is to be satisfied. So if you work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, you are not subjected to any criminal law. You are free. That is liberation. God.
As one has to work in ordinary life by the direction of the state, similarly, one has to work under the direction of the Supreme State of the Lord. Such instructions in the Vedas are directly manifested from the breathing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is said, all the four Vedas, namely the Rig Veda, Yajurveda, Samveda, and Atharva Veda, are emanations from the breathing of the Great Personality of Godhead. The Lord, being potent, can speak by his breathing air, as is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita.
Yes. We should not think how it is that Lord gave his laws through breathing. Because with breathing we cannot speak anything. That means I am calculating the strength of God with my capacity. The Brahma Samhita says, no. Angani jasya sakalendriya vittimanti. Every part, every limb of the body of Krishna, the Supreme Personality, can act of other limbs. Just like I can see through the eyes only. But Krishna can see through his finger also. That is his omnipotency. Omnipotency means every limb has got the potency of all other limbs. That is called omnipotency. We speak of omnipotency, but we do not know the meaning of omnipotence. This is omnipotence. That by his glance, God created this world by his glance. Sa ikhata, sa asyajata, these are Vedic hymns. So we can say that how is that? Simply God saw and there was creation. Yes, that is omnipotence. Why do you think in terms of your capacity? That is materialism. As soon as you think of God in my capacity, that is materialism. You have to accept, as it is said in the Vedas, then you understand what is God. Otherwise you cannot. Go on.
The Lord, being potent, can speak by breathing air, as is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. For the Lord has omnipotence to perform through each of his senses the actions of all other senses. In other words, the Lord can speak through his breathing, and he can impregnate by his eyes. It is said that he glanced over the material nature and thus fathered all the living entities. So, after impregnating the conditioned soul into the womb of material nature, he gave his direction in the Vedic wisdom as to how such conditioned souls can return home back to Godhead. We should always remember that the conditioned souls in material nature are all eager for material enjoyment. And the Vedic directions are so made that one can satisfy one's perverted desires, then return to Godhead, having finished his so-called enjoyment. It is a chance for the conditioned souls to attain liberation. Therefore, the conditioned souls must try to follow the process of yajna by becoming Krishna conscious. Those who have not followed the Vedic injunction may adopt the principles of Krishna consciousness, and that will take the place of performance of Vedic yajna. 16. My dear Arjuna, a man who does not follow this prescribed Vedic system of sacrifice certainly leads a life of sin. For a person delighting only in the senses lives in vain. Purport.
Yes, this is very important. As you are, very important. Go on.
The Mammonist philosophy of work very hard and enjoy sense gratification is condemned herewith by the Lord. For those who want to enjoy this material world, the above-mentioned cycle of sacrifices is absolutely necessary. One who does not follow such regulations in living is living a very risky life, being condemned more and more. By nature's law, this human form of life is specifically meant for self-realization in either of the three ways, namely karma yoga, jnana yoga, or bhakti yoga. There is no necessity of rigidly following the performances of the prescribed yajnas. Such transcendentalists are above vice and virtue. But those who are engaged in sense gratification require purification by the above-mentioned cycle of yajna performances. There are different kinds of activities. Those who are not Krishna conscious are certainly engaged in sensory consciousness, and therefore they need to execute pious work. The yajna system is planned in such a way that the sensory conscious persons may satisfy their desires without becoming entangled in the reactions to such sense gratifying work. The prosperity of the world depends not on our own efforts, but on the background arrangement of the Supreme Lord, directly carried out by the demigods. Therefore, these sacrifices are directly aimed at the particular demigod mentioned in the Vedas. Indirectly, it is the practice of Krishna consciousness, because when one masters the performance of yajnas, one is sure to become Krishna conscious. If, having performed yajnas, one does not become Krishna conscious, such principles are counted as only moral codes. One should not, of course, limit his progress to the point of moral codes, but should transcend them to attain Krishna consciousness.
Krishna consciousness is transcendental. Moral codes, they are up to material perfection. Of course, one who has not attained material perfection, he cannot attain to Krishna consciousness. Just like one who has not passed his graduation in the university, he cannot take up law course, that is law in India. But one who has taken to the law course, it is to be understood that he has passed his graduation in the college. Similarly, one who has taken Krishna consciousness as seriousness, then it is to be understood that he has performed all kinds of sacrifice. That is the reason. But one who is not Krishna consciousness, he must abide by the rules of sacrifices. But in this age, it is very difficult to follow all the rules and regulations of sacrifices. Therefore, it is the greatest gift of Lord Chaitanya that you come directly to Krishna consciousness, everything will be done. So Krishna consciousness is so nice. Immediately, you rise to the transcendental platform, simply by chanting Hare Krishna. Yes.
17. One who is, however, taking pleasure in the self, who is illumined in the self, who rejoices in and is satisfied with the self only, fully satiated, for him there is no duty.
Here it is plainly said by Lord Krishna, the self, one who is taking pleasure in self. How we can take pleasure in self? As soon as we engage ourselves with the Supreme Self, that is enjoyment. Anandamaya Vyasa, the Supreme Lord is joyful. Just like if you mix with a joyful society, a joyful person, then automatically you become joyful. There is no necessity of becoming joyful separately. That association will make you joyful. If you mix with a society criminal, automatically you become criminal. There is no necessity of learning criminality separately. By association, you'll do that. Similarly, if you associate with the Supreme Joyful, Krishna, automatically you become joyful. This is Krishna consciousness. Automatically. There is no necessity separately how to become joyful. Simply by association. Therefore, here it is said that one who rejoices in, that rejoices by association with the Supreme and is satisfied with the Self only. With Self, myself, what I am. My identity is that I am eternal servant of God. So as soon as I engage myself in the service of God, that is my Self-realization. And if I enjoy in that Self-realization, then I have no other duty. Finished all life, finished all duty, all sacrifice, everything. Complete.
A person who is fully Krishna conscious and by his acts in Krishna consciousness is fully satisfied, no longer has anything to perform as his duty. Due to his becoming Krishna conscious, all the dirty things within are instantly cleansed, ordinarily an effect of many, many thousands of yajna performances. By such clearing of consciousness, one becomes fully confident of his eternal position in relationship with the Supreme. His duty thus becomes self-illuminated by the grace of the Lord, and therefore he no longer has anything to do in terms of the Vedic injunctions. Such a Krishna-conscious person is no longer interested in material activities and no longer takes pleasure in material arrangements like wine, women, and similar infatuations. 18. A self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties, nor has he any reason not to perform such work, nor has he any need to depend on any other living being. 19. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty, for by working without attachment, one attains the Supreme. Purport. This Supreme is the personality of Godhead for the devotees and liberation for the impersonalists. A person acting for Krishna or in Krishna consciousness under proper guidance and without attachment to the result of the work is certainly making progress toward the supreme goal of life. Indirectly, Arjuna is told that he should fight the battle of Kurukshetra without attachment in the interest of Krishna because Krishna wanted him to fight. To be a good man or a non-violent man is also a personal attachment. But to act on behalf of the Supreme...
Yes, to be a good man, this consciousness is, I am very good man. Or to bad man, I am very bad man. But if you become Krishna conscious, I am neither good man nor bad man. I am Krishna's man. That's all. Finish. Finish. All business, I am Krishna's man. That's all. If Krishna wants to kill you, I will kill you. If Krishna says you do that, I will do that. That's all. I am Krishna's man. So he is immediately transcendental to all goodness or badness. All right, stop here. Any question? Yes.
But it says duty. Does that mean you don't have to do anything at all?
If Krishna orders, he shall do. But not purposely, at your whims. There is nothing wrong for a Krishna conscious person. But what we think materially wrong, if it is ordered by Krishna, we shall do it. But Krishna, there is no wrong. Just like the government orders somebody to be hanged, that means kills. So that does not mean the government becomes condemned. But if I kill, I immediately become condemned. The government is still pure. Because for higher purpose, the government can order somebody to be hanged and somebody to be rewarded. Everything is justice. Similarly, when Krishna says, you do this, we have no consideration whether material calculation it is good or bad. That's all. But we cannot do on our own account. Then it is implication. That is the technique. Don't think that we are now Krishna conscious, we are Krishna's persons, we can do anything. Just like if a policeman thinks that I am government man, I can do anything, whatever I like. That is wrong. You cannot do that. But if Krishna orders, then you can.
Yeah. Krishna is Why is this here? I can't remember where, but I remember reading that Krishna told Arjuna that he can go to the sun planet by worshipping. Why did he say that?
If I say that you can go to Santa Fe, what is the harm? What is wrong there? Anywhere, if Krishna says that you can go to the sun planet, what is wrong there?
Well, I thought you'd go to Krishna. Go to Krishna.
And if Krishna desires that he should go to sun planet, then he will go? What is wrong there? There is nothing wrong. You have to act what Krishna says. It doesn't matter what he says. You should not select Krishna's order according to your choice. You should accept Krishna's order by Krishna's choice. If Krishna says you go to hell, yes, I am going to hell. That's all. Sargava parga narakesha vitullarth darshana. For a Krishna conscious person, there is no distinction that this is hell, this is heaven. Just like we have come here to preach Krishna consciousness. We have no distinction between Los Angeles and Vrindavan. Wherever we are, I am in Krishna consciousness, that is Vrindavan. That's all. I don't live in Los Angeles or anywhere. I live in Krishna consciousness. I preach Krishna consciousness. Therefore, I live in Krishna. So your principle should be like that. You be fully in Krishna consciousness, you forget all other things. Krishna is all pervading, therefore your living is all pervading. Is that all right? So any other question? Yes, it has already begun. You are killing cows, the source of butter. Now, time will come, there will be no more cows. Misusing. And then where will you get butter? You cannot manufacture in your factory cow or butter. You should. Otherwise you are ungrateful. You are drinking milk, you are taking so much butter, milk product, and as gratitude you are killing cows. You should be ashamed. Even if you have no human feelings, you suck the breast of your mother and kill. Is that humanity? So, this will be, in due course, the milk supply will be stopped. That is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There will be no more milk supply at the end of this Kali Yuga. Four things will be stopped. Grains, sugar and milk will be stopped. And fruits will not be without any pulp. It will be simply seed. Just like in mango, there is seed and pulp. In future, you will simply have seed, no pulp. So you will eat mango simply by tasting the seed. There will be no more mango pulp. These are stated in the Bhagavatam. So people are so foolish that they are continually committing sinful activities. Therefore, yoga is recommended. But they cannot perform yoga also. The only alternative is to take to Krishna consciousness to save you from all risky life. Yeah.
So when they say they have a surplus of grains now, they are burning these great mounds of grains, This means that in the future there will be no grains for this kind of reason?
Yes. As soon as you make misuse, the supply will be stopped. After all, the supply is not in your control. You cannot manufacture all these things. You can kill thousands of cows daily, but you cannot generate even one ant. And you are very much proud of your science. You see? Just produce one ant in the laboratory, moving with independence. And you are killing so many animals? Why? So how long this will go on? Everything will be stopped. That's like a child. Mother is giving good, nice food stuff and is spoiling. Then what the mother will do? All right. From tomorrow you will not get. That is natural.
Is it true that Krishna has all these things on each planet simply because of the presence of a pure devotee?
No, Krishna appears not in consideration of this planet, but just like there is a headquarter of the governor or some government officer in a particular place. Similarly, when Krishna appears in this universe, he comes in this planet, in that Mathura Vrindavan. Therefore it is called so sanctified. Whenever he appears there. And that Vrindavan happens to be situated within this planet. So this planet is very fortunate in that sense. Yes. Yes.
When people realize there's no one better, when they get attached to other things, will they realize a mistake?
What is that?
When people realize when there's no more butter, will people realize they've made a mistake, or will they get attached to something?
A sinful man never realizes his mistake. Therefore, he's miscreant. You ask any miscreant, any criminal, you have done wrong, he'll be angry. Murkhaya upadisha iparkupaya santa nasanta. So, the miscreants and sinful, they cannot realize unless they are in good association and blessed. So therefore, good association requires. We are giving chance, this temple is open to give people to good association. Please come, try to understand. And if one is fortunate, he understands, he takes to this principle. And that's become, purified gradually. But in this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that you do not require to change your position. You simply try to hear about Krishna from the rightful source. That's all. Then everything will be all right, gradually. Every one of us are mistaken or whatever you may call. But Krishna is so kind that he keeps his book, Bhagavad Gita, he sends his representative, he comes himself as Lord Chaitanya to deliver us. He sends Lord Jesus Christ. So many arrangements, but we don't take advantage. We are so fool and sinful. But still, the propaganda will go on. Just like father, however misguided a son may be, whenever the father gets a chance, he says, my dear son, you don't do this, it is not good, you do this. So that is the duty of the father. Similarly, we are bent upon continue our sinful activities, But there is sufficient arrangement by Krishna to instruct us and to lead us back to Godhead, back to home.
How do you account for the fact that man sometimes takes animals and feeds them and protects them, whereas otherwise these animals might have died of starvation or exposure or something?
Why do our ancestors of the animals being starvation? You take care of yourself. You don't be philanthropic. Oh, they will starve, let me eat. What is this philanthropy? Krishna is supplying food. If he dies out of starvation, it is Krishna's responsibility. Nobody dies of starvation. That is a false theory. Have you seen any animal dying of starvation? Have you got any experience? Have you seen any bird died of starvation? There is no question of starvation in the kingdom of God. We are manufacturing these theories for our own satisfaction, sense satisfaction. There is no question of starvation in the law of God. Elephant eats 100 pounds at a time. Who is supplying foodstuff? There are millions of elephants in the African jungle and Indian jungle. They require 100 pounds at a time to eat. Who is supplying food? So there is no question of starvation in the kingdom of God. Starvation is for the so-called civilized man.
Yeah. If man wasn't meant to eat meat, why in nature do the other animals kill the meat?
Are you other animal?
Well, we're all animals.
You count amongst the animals? You classify yourself with the animals?
Well, we're all animals.
No, not all. You maybe, but we are not. Do you like to be classified with the animals?
You don't.
No, no, do you like yourself? Do you like to be
classified? I don't feel that I'm better than the animals, no.
Huh?
I don't believe that I am better than the animals.
Why? Why you are talking then?
Why
you have come here?
I have respect for all God's creatures.
You respect for all and you kill animals?
I didn't say that I kill animals.
Then why do you say that? What is your question? What is the question I'm going
to ask? He's saying, if man is not meant to eat meat, then why is it that some animals eat meat? He's saying that since we are animals also now, we are not meant to eat meat, but other animals are permitted to.
The other animals, they meet, but they follow the nature's law. They don't eat grain.
No,
you don't follow. Just like a tiger eats meat. But tiger does not come to eat grains and fruits. But you eat meat and grains, fruits, milk, whatever you get, you eat. Why? Is that natural? Tiger will never come to claim on the grains, oh, you have got so much grain, give me. No. Even there are hundreds of bags of grains, he'll don't care. But he'll pounce upon it. That is his natural instinct. But why do you take grains, fruits, milk, meat, and whatever you get? What is this? You are neither animal nor human being. Misusing your humanity. You should think that what is suitable for me? A tiger may eat meat. It is a tiger. But I am not a tiger. I am a human being, and if I got sufficient grains, fruits, vegetables, and other things God has given, why should I go to kill a poor animal? This is human. You are animal. plus human. If you forget your humanity, then you are animal. So we are not simple animal. We are animal plus humanity. If we increase our quality of humanity, then our life is perfect. But if we remain in animality, then our life is imperfect. So we have to increase our human consciousness. That is Krishna consciousness. That is Krishna consciousness. What is the purpose of eating? To live. If you can live very peacefully, very nicely, with good health, by eating so many varieties of foodstuff given by Krishna, why should I kill an animal? This is humanity. Why should I imitate an animal? Then what is the difference between animal and human being? If you have no discretion, if you have no consciousness. Besides that, scientifically, your teeth is meant for eating vegetables. The tiger has it for eating meat. Nature has made it like that. It has to kill another, and therefore he has got nails, he has got teeth, he has got strength. But you have no such strength. You cannot kill a cow like that, punching like dog. You have to make slaughterhouse and sit down at your home. Somebody may slaughter and you can eat very nicely. What is this? You do like tiger. Pounce upon a cow and eat. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. Nature's law, that is, tiger is made by nature's law in that way. So therefore, he can do that. You cannot do it. Your nature is different. You have got discrimination, you have got conscience, you are claiming civilized human being. So you should utilize these things. That is Krishna consciousness, perfect consciousness. So human life is meant for raising oneself to the perfection of consciousness, and that is Krishna consciousness. We cannot remain in tiger consciousness. That is not humanity. Yes, naturally we've fallen from higher to lower. Then we make progress. Again come to this human being. This is a biomedia with good consciousness. If you utilize your good consciousness, then you go still higher, go to God. But if you don't use your higher consciousness, then again go to down. This is going on. Cycle of birth and death. This human form of life is meant for self-realization, God-realization. If we don't use properly our this life for God consciousness or Krishna consciousness and go back to the kingdom of God, then we have to suffer again in the 8,400,000 species of life cycle, one after another. That is our choice. So, the best choice is to take to Krishna consciousness or God consciousness, and your life is perfect. Don't be misguided. Take to God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, and your life, then it will be proper use of this human form. Otherwise, if we indulge in meat-eating like tiger, I may get get life like a tiger next life, but what is the use? Suppose if I become very strong tiger in my next life, is that very good promotion? Do you know the life of tiger? They cannot eat even daily. They pounce upon one animal and keep it secretly, and they eat for a month the decomposed flesh. Because it is not possible to get chance kill an animal. God will not give that such chance. You see? It is natural. And in the jungle, wherever there is a tiger, all animals will go away. They will also try to protect themselves, self-protection. So, rarely, when he's too hungry, then God gives him a chance to pounce upon another animal. A tiger cannot get so many palatable dishes daily. Oh, it is inhuman form of life. If we misuse, then we are... We have got all facilities. And if we misuse it, then go to the tiger life. Be very strong with pouncing capacity. That's all. All right, chant, please.